This episode of Motherhood in Hollywood is sponsored by Kinsa, the world's smartest thermometer. I always keep Kinsa in my arsenal of mom tools. It remembers my daughter's temperature, symptoms, and medications, so I don't have to. And it keeps her entertained with games while we wait. Check it out at kinsahealth.com.
Come on, Mama!
Grab your popcorn and goobers. It's time for Motherhood in Hollywood with your host, Heather Brooker. This is a crude prude's perspective on being a full-time mom in showbiz. She's not a perfect mom, but she can play one on TV. Hold on to your butts. Here's Heather.
Merry Christmas, everyone, from Motherhood in Hollywood. That's me, Heather Brooker. Hi, hope you guys are having a wonderful holiday season so far. I have a special guest in the studio with me. Come here, bunny. You're supposed to come here and say hi. Can you say Merry Christmas?
Merry Christmas.
Yeah. Are you excited for Santa?
Yeah.
Come here. You have to come closer to the microphone, silly pants. Are you ready for Santa?
Yeah.
What is Santa going to do? Is he going to bring presents?
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you going to open presents?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. This is very exciting. Well, we are definitely looking forward to Christmas here. We have our tree up. We have way too many gifts under the tree. Not as many as I would have liked, because actually this week has been a bit of a challenge in the Brooker house. We have all had the plague of the stomach flu and are finally just now kind of coming up for air. It was horrible. Channing got it first, and poor baby. It's really horrible watching your child when they don't feel well and when they're like that violently ill. It's just gut-wrenching. And I thought I had escaped it. Chris got it a little bit, and then I thought, oh great, I'm in the clear. And the night we went to see Star Wars, it hit like in the middle of the movie, and I thought, oh my God, I am going to barf and crap my pants. I've got to get out of here. And I barely made it home. We said bye to our friends right after the movie, and I was like, come on, Chris, we gotta go. And we barely made it home before I just imploded. I know, TMI. But it's kind of a bummer, because I was so excited for the Star Wars movie. And then all I kept thinking at the end of it was, I'm going to die. I'm literally going to die. That being said, everybody is happy and healthy now. And I really enjoyed Star Wars. There's been a few of my friends on Facebook who are like, oh, there was too much exposition and too much CGI. And I'm like, oh my God, get over yourself. It's a great movie. It was a lot of fun. The fans loved it. Like, everybody we saw it with in the theater, it was on the very first night that it was released, and everyone was just applauding, laughing, having the best time ever. And yeah, I mean, I thought it was a great movie. I don't know. You could disagree. Whatever. In fact, I know there's a lot of people who, at least on my Facebook page, have been sort of like trying to rebel against the fandom of Star Wars and say, you know, this is me not giving any ifs about Star Wars. And, you know, okay, good for you. You don't like Star Wars. That's cool. But everybody else in the world does. So let's all just take a minute and just find a little joy, a little happiness in something in the world that's not like horrible and related to something ISIS, you know, terrible terrorism or politics or whatever. It's like, let's just take a minute and enjoy a silly movie, shall we? It makes people happy. And that's what the holiday season is all about. Happiness. That's Heather's two cents for the day. So, what else did I want to tell you guys? Oh, I have a lot of exciting things coming up in the new year that I'm going to be sharing with you in the few coming episodes of the few year. And so be on the lookout for that. Also, next week's episode on the 28th is the live episode from Motherhood in Hollywood Live for No Kid Hungry with our guests Lori Kilmartin and Danielle Koenig. I'm still working on that, all the technical aspects of that, to get it to sound good and like so you guys will enjoy listening to it, hopefully. And what else do I want to say? Oh, I'm launching something new. I'm going to try something new in the coming year. I want to say it, but I can't. I'm going to wait. Eek! I know. It's so exciting. Okay. I'm such a dork. So really quick, today, my guest on the show, you guys, is, this is incredible. It's Marissa Ross. She casts a TV show called Chicago Med, and it's on NBC. But she's been in casting forever. She cast How I Met Your Mother, which is a huge show for CBS for many, many years. She also cast, are you wait for it? Are you ready? Dark Angel. What? I know. She basically discovered Jessica Alba is what I'm going to say. oh my gosh. And I just realized Jessica Alba is my great white whale to be on this show. And I should have asked Marissa if she knew her and she would come on my show. Oh man, I'm such a dope. I totally forgot to do that. Oh, all right. One day I'll get it together, you guys. One day I'll figure out this whole podcast Motherhood in Hollywood thing. And then, look out, world. Taking it over. Anyway, I loved talking with Marissa. She was so genuine and so real with her answers about what casting is like for actors in this industry today versus how it was 5, 10, even 15 years ago. And what it's like to be a mom in this business, because it's different than other businesses. There are many ways that it's different, but there are many ways that it's the same. So I love what she had to say about that. And I think you guys are going to love it too. So stay tuned for upcoming episodes. Lots of fun things happening. But for right now, here is my interview with casting director Marissa Ross. Okay, you guys, I'm very excited today about my guest because, as you can imagine, I probably have like 1,000 questions lined up. Marissa Ross is joining me now all the way from Chicago. Hi, Marissa. Welcome to the show.
Hi.
Thank you so much for making the time to be on. I know you're very busy and you just said you came from an emergency casting session.
It's all good. I feel like every casting session in television is almost an emergency. Because it all moves so fast that, you know, every other day there's a problem.
Does it? I've always wondered about that because sometimes I'll get like a last minute notice to come in right away. And, you know, I never know if it's because they added a role or cut a role or, you know, maybe all of the
above. Well, a lot of times, you know, you're convinced, oh, we have it. This is somebody great. And then because there's so many people that have to, the approval process in television, it's your producers, it's your writer, it's your director for that episode, it's your studio, it's your network. So many people have to agree.
Yeah.
And they don't always. So you think that you have it and then it turns out you don't, or days shift. So somebody you have on hold suddenly can't do it anymore. And then all of a sudden you have to have an emergency session. And so even like I have a session starting in 20 minutes because everyone loved this girl. Then when we sent it to the person for approval, they said no.
So
we're doing another session in 20 minutes.
Is it typically the network that steps in and says, meh, I don't like this, you know, I don't like her hair or her, you know, is it usually something very like benign like that? Or is it like she looks like my mother or
that happens, but it's the perfect example I always give to people is that it's all just so subjective. Something that you find funny, somebody else won't find funny. Or if you ask a room, who do you think is more beautiful, Scarlett Johansson or Sofia Vergara, it's usually cut right down the middle. It's 50-50 because people don't agree. You know, everyone has different tastes and different ideas, and you've got something in your head and you watch it and you're like, that's not what was in my head, but it was in 8 other people's heads. So, and casting is a weird, it's a weird thing because you just have to get so many people to agree. It didn't used to always be that way.
Is that frustrating for you? Because in casting, was it generally the casting director said, hey, here's who I think should have it? Or has it always been really more up to like the producer directors?
It's a little bit of both. When I started as an assistant at Ulrich Dawson Kritzer, we weren't even videotaping auditions yet.
Oh, wow.
We would sort of have the auditions with the producer and then call the studio and say, this is who we were hiring.
Oh, wow.
It was very different. And then we had to start doing videotapes and then sending VHSs. Like I'd have to make FedEx by 6 o'clock to send this VHS tape somewhere. for approval. So it's with the how easy it is for information, how easy it is to send video clips. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, the more people could have a say in it. So it has changed a lot. I mean, but the job's gotten easier too. I don't have to open up, you know, 10,000 paper submissions.
Yeah,
you know.
And all those VHS tapes. I did an internship once with Jeannie McCarthy Casting, mm-hmm. and it was right about the time that everything was moving more towards digital submissions and, you know, video reels and whatnot, or online reels. And she just has like a wall of VHS tapes in her office. And one of the things I did as an intern with the other interns was we were clearing out all of these old reels and audition tapes, and they were all on VHS, and there were just like hundreds of them.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah, it's so crazy to me. And I'm sure at some point there were DVD submissions, right?
Do you think 100%.
Yeah, everybody did 100%. DVD submissions.
Yeah. And that's gone now too. I'm still upset. Somehow in my move from LA to Chicago, I had a collage made of Polaroids of famous people that I had, because we had to take their picture with the Polaroid when they came into audition.
Oh, wow. That's and so cool.
I somehow lost it. Somebody has a really fun coffee table book. That just didn't, for some reason, make it from LA to Chicago. I don't know where it is.
Oh, no. Now, tell me, why did you move from Chicago? By the way, Allison nominated you to be on the show, by the way. I hope you're okay with that.
Yes!
I was in her office, and she was like, how are you? What's going on? And I was like, oh, my gosh, well, I'm having so much fun. I'm doing this awesome podcast, and, you know, it's about moms and, you know, and my journey to become an actress and for me to meet other moms and connect with them. And she's like, well, you know who you need to talk to. And I was like, oh, yes, please.
Being a mom has been integral to my, you know, what's happened to me in my career for the past 8 years. But I have three boys. So I have an 8-year-old, a 5-year-old, and a 2-year-old.
Wow.
And I've worked through every one of their pregnancies, all parts of their lives. It's all been, you know, I've thrown up through many people's auditions while being pregnant in the middle of their auditions. But I moved to Chicago for family. And in the end, when we realized we were having more than one kid, we sort of had to think about what we really wanted and how we wanted to raise our children. And I'm a casting director. I'm never going to be that rich. I'm married to an academic. We're never going to be that rich.
Yeah.
So it was either, you know, moving really far out into the valley or changing our lives. So my husband's a professor at Northwestern, which is an amazing university.
Yeah.
And he got a tenured position there. And we flew out here for the first time. And we both spent time in Chicago before. And because my family's not here. My family's from Arizona. And we flew out here and we were like, this is really nice. It was just an amazing city.
So you had never been there before?
I had. I was a cherub at Northwestern. I taught their cherub program in college.
Okay.
And my husband got his master's from the University of Chicago.
Okay, so you had definitely been there before.
We've been there. But it's just now being here full time, it's an amazing combination of family and culture and city and...
So do you feel like it was a good move for you then in terms of family, but then what happened with your career? Because, you know, everybody says New York and LA, the center of the Hollywood universe, so to speak. So how did all of that work out?
Well, I was paranoid that, and not that there's anything wrong with this job, but that I was going to be doing like gluten-free pizza samples at Whole Foods.
Right.
I was like, oh, cool. I'll be totally good at that. Friendly. Right. You know, I was really scared. And so I didn't give up my job in LA for a long time. We actually moved my family here. My husband and my kids moved here. And I commuted for 3 more years to Los Angeles.
Oh, wow.
Monday through Thursday. So it was very important to me to finish out How I Met Your Mother. Yeah. I wasn't going to leave the series. You know, I needed to be there to the end. Mm-hmm. And I did several other pilots. And so it was the slowest move to Chicago ever. But what happened was, is I got to know on my off seasons from How I Met Your Mother, I got to know everybody, all the talent here. I did searches for studios, or I do like the occasional project here. And so when How I Met Your Mother finished in that May, and I moved here for good, and I opened my doors officially in September. So I've been open about a year and a half here in Chicago. It was amazing just how much work there was.
Oh,
so
wow. Did you feel validated then? Like, it was like, okay, then I've made the right choice.
Yes. In a lot of ways, I made my own work. So yeah. I do a comedy festival. We're going to be in our fourth year this summer that I started. Brooke Shoemaker, who's a manager at Prince Potter Young, who's here in Chicago, her and I do this together. And so we started a New Faces comedy festival here in Chicago because the one Just for Laughs went away. Mm-hmm. It's not here anymore. So we started it as a way to help drum up more work in Chicago. So all casting executives from all the studios and networks, they all come here for that festival, and and it's all for free. No one gets paid. And we put up all sorts of new faces and stand-ups, and we do give back talks to all the community to ask questions, you know, like Terry Dean and Matt Skrbalek and Seth Yankowitz sit on these panels, and, you know, all the actors in town get to ask questions of what it's like in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
And by doing that, I sort of made Chicago part of the conversation. So this will be my second pilot season of doing pilot searches for all the pilots for CBS and NBC studios here in Chicago, so that they hire me to look for all their pilots in Chicago part of the conversation.
Now, when you're saying you look for pilots, are you talking about like scripts, or are you looking specifically at actors?
No, actors.
Actors.
So okay. So when pilots are greenlit, they have the main casting director in Los Angeles or New York, wherever it's shot. Mm-hmm. And then they'll have people hired in Sydney and Vancouver and
Atlanta.
You know, New York, Atlanta, and to look. And I now make sure that Chicago is part of that conversation, that Chicago's also, you know, searching. So like right now, we did 4 weeks on the Nicki Minaj pilot. We searched for her, for all the kids for that, and the mom and stuff like that, you know, that they took that much time to really comb through all the Midwest as well.
You know, as an actor, there's part of me that's like, oh, that's great. You know, there's so many areas covered. But then also as an actor living in LA, I kind of feel like, oh man, you know, like, why am I could have stayed at home in Oklahoma and probably just waited to be discovered. But I'm
not going to lie to you. It's a little bit easier
in
these markets
to
actually get bigger roles that you wouldn't have had an opportunity to get.
Yeah.
You know, the show shooting in Atlanta or New Orleans, they do need to, like, even on Chicago Med, which I'm doing right now, we're on our ninth episode. There have been quite a few guest stars and recurring guest stars that have come from this local Chicago market.
Now, is that a producer choice to hire locally, or is it for you, the show shoots there. Right.
Correct.
Yeah. So are they hiring at all in other markets like LA and New York?
They are. They are in New York and LA. But, you know, if you could find a fantastic actor locally, why not use that actor?
Yeah, because then you don't have to pay the expenses for flight. And,
they're also available. They can come in for a fitting at short notice. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I know several actor friends of mine have become local hires and are branching out to especially Atlanta. And they've like, you know, with The Walking Dead and the other big shows that are filming there are like, their resumes are building and, you know, their reels are getting better and they're building up their credits and things like that.
Yeah.
And, I just don't know, like, for me being a mom, I don't know that I could up and leave and fly to Atlanta on a moment's notice for an audition. That would be really hard to do.
Of course it would.
Or even Chicago, you know. So I feel like there's a part of me that feels like, oh, I'm missing out on stuff. Because, you know, as actors, we want to be, we think we can do everything and be in everything. And it's hard to try to balance my, you know, the mom side that's like, no, I need to be here and you know, with my daughter. So what do you say to like actors and moms who are looking at all these opportunities in other places? As far as like, is taping the way to go? Should we be submitting online? Should we be telling our managers that?
You should, and you should do self-tapes and things like that. But, you know, you also don't make yourself crazy if it's a job that you feel like you actually can't do with your daughter and your daughter's schedule and things like that. You know, that's part of it as well. Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, it totally does. Yeah, I guess, you know, we just have to be willing to let things go to a point.
Of course.
Yeah.
Because, you know, a lot of my good friends you know, who are the same age as me and things. They have kids and they're actors. And it's hard. They cannot take that new series in Toronto. Mm-hmm. They can't, you know. Their son's in kindergarten and it just doesn't work for their family. And it's hard to let that opportunity think, oh, yeah, my God, I could have had a series in Toronto. But you can't, you know, because her son is having a great time at his school.
Right. And that's ultimately, I think, what I'm fascinated with moms in this industry is that you have to go where the work is. But when you have a child, everything changes because they're your focus and your priority. And you don't want to just uproot them. And you can't just, like I said, up and leave and go to Chicago or Atlanta for an audition or, you know, even if I booked like a guest star for a week, I don't know what I would do with my daughter. Because my husband works full time and that sort of thing. So it's fascinating to me how moms make it work. And now I know you have been casting some huge shows for a very long time. I want to ask you a little bit more about like, how did you juggle it all? Like, because casting has sometimes crazy hours. I know you guys get calls from producers in the middle of the night and emails.
Always.
So mm-hmm. like, how are you able to find time to be present with your kids? You know, if you are, I mean, maybe you're not. So how do you balance it?
You know, the funny thing is that it's just worked into our lives. You know, my husband's also very busy. He's an economics guy. He travels the world. And there are times, like I just went to Australia and New Zealand to teach with Matt Kobalik and Carrie Barden for 2 weeks. Oh, wow. And it was 2 weeks. I left my husband and kids for 2 weeks. And when I landed, my husband was literally leaving to go to Zurich. And he was at the airport and I told him he couldn't get on his flight until I've called that I've touched down in Chicago. Oh, wow. And I'm like, so at least one parent is in the country before he leaves. Yeah. Literally, that's what happened to us. Like, we were the president and vice president. He didn't board his flight until I was there. You know, you just, so I had Lucas and Nico, my two littlest ones, while doing How I Met Your Mother. Mm-hmm. So I got that job when Oscar was born. I worked that job and continued to have two kids while working on that show. And my favorite, oddest memory is Nico was born and I was doing How I Met Your Dad. And I didn't have a babysitter that day, but I had, you know, because for some reason, like every single babysitter couldn't come in that day. And
it's always the way it works. Always. When you're like, oh my God, I need someone. I
read with Greta Gerwig with like six different guys. And I showed up with Nico. He's like 4 or 5 weeks old. And I handed him to Greta. And Greta sat on my couch and basically did chemistry reads while holding Nico. Because people will. It's just a part of it. You know what I mean? It's not. Yeah, I don't know.
What is your perception of that? Like, if actors have to bring, you know, their kids into auditions,
For me, it's no big deal. It's no big deal. Well, with Alison Silverberg, I think I was pregnant with Oscar. We were doing a studio test, and I thought my water broke at one moment.
Oh, no.
And I was like, hey, I can't get the next actor, Alison. I don't want to stand. I'm like, get the next actor? No. I was like, I think I'm either peeing or there's an issue that's happening.
Oh no. There's a good chance it could be pee though. I feel like I peed constantly. My last trimester, I was like, am I peeing? No. Always.
You know, it's the funny thing is, so, and this I'm going to be really, really honest. When I was commuting, there were women, because my kids, remember, were with my husband most of the time, and I was Monday through Thursday in LA. And I found that some women were very judgmental of me.
Oh, really?
That I did not have my children with me full time. Oh. They were like, oh, I can't believe why that you would do that. Pretty accusatory. And I'd be like, well, why? They're in school. They're in their house. They're with their dad. I was like, they're having a great time rather than sitting in an apartment in LA waiting for me to come home.
Yeah.
I was like, you know, cause the hours are insane. Like you said, mm-hmm. This way they were having a better time. And then, you know, when I was home Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I was uber present.
Hey, you guys, guys, I want to tell you more about Kinsa, the world's smartest thermometer. It is the number one tool for mom's peace of mind. In fact, I used it this week when Channing wasn't feeling well. She had the stomach flu, and Kinsa helped me remember her temperatures, medication, and symptoms so I could focus on what really mattered, taking care of my little girl. If you need something like this in your mommy toolbox, go to kinsahealth.com right now and check it out. Kinsa, the world's smartest thermometer. Yeah, I was going to ask, like, so then did you find, did you feel any guilt at all because of that? Like, you found, like, you, when you were with them, that you needed to be extra present and do extra things? Like, because I feel guilty when I have to, like, I have to leave her later today, a little extra at preschool because I have an audition and it's over in Culver City and I'm like, well, I have to leave her and then I feel bad, you know? So I don't know. Did you ever experience any of that, like, mommy guilt?
We all do. My son's teacher, who I literally just met with yesterday, said the neatest thing to me. She said, because she knows how busy Matthias and I are, and she said, Oscar is proud of you guys. He has great pride when he talks about his parents.
Oh, I love that.
And when he talks about what mommy and daddy do and what they're like and what they're, you know, because he's been with me to my office many times. He's been on set. He's been with Matthias at Northwestern and at UCLA, and he's watched his class. So, you know, they're very much involved and know what our lives are like. Again, she said that he's very proud of us. So that I thought was so beautiful. Like, I almost cried sitting there, you know, listening.
I know, I love that. Conference.
I thought it was a beautiful thing that she said.
And like, how lovely for you to hear, because I know that we all do have that mom guilt, and you start thinking like, oh, I wonder if they know why I'm doing this and why I work so hard.
They do. They do. Yeah, because sometimes, as Matthias says, I over-mom it on the weekends. Oh. So, you know, I'll throw like a birthday party for the kid, for, you know, like Lucas. And I am very artsy craftsy. Oh,
so, you are? Do you Pinterest?
You need to go on my Facebook page. You can see all the food art that I create. Like,
oh my gosh,
watermelon sharks and things like that.
I love it. I'm terrible at crafts. Like, I can't even draw like stick figures or make anything out of popsicle sticks. I'm so bad at it, but I love the idea of it. And not until I had Channing did I start getting into Pinterest and stuff like that. And I'm like, this is the coolest thing ever. Everyone's so talented.
But you have to be honest with your fails. So
oh,
I
for sure.
Put up like my R2-D2 fail, where like half the cake fell down.
Oh, I want to see that.
So you got it. You got to make sure you also show that.
You have to send me a picture.
Oh, I have so many. I have so many. But yeah, my husband's like, okay, why are you trying to shame all the moms of the neighborhood with your like melting snowman cookies? He's like, calm down with Pinterest.
I love it.
Because I'll over mom it on the weekends. But yeah, like I said, it's a big balance. And I haven't slept in a decade. But
I was gonna say, are you so tired? Like, I just have one and I'm exhausted.
Three is a lot.
That's a lot. That's a lot. No judgment, but that's a lot of kids. And they're boys too. Whoa.
they're totally the Emmanuel brothers. So do you know like Rom, Ari, and Ezekiel?
Oh yeah, yeah.
The oldest is a scientist, which is totally my son. The middle one is Rom, which is my son Lucas. Uh-huh. And then the little one is the terror. And I'm like, oh my God, you're going to grow up to be Ari.
Oh my God.
You're going to grow up to be Ari. He is a terror.
Oh, is that funny like how they all have their own distinct personalities?
They could not be more stereotypical when you look at like any book of what the definition of an oldest, middle, and baby child are.
You're literally like textbook.
Do
you think, are they showing any leanings towards casting or the industry at all? Are they curious about what you do? I know your 2-year-old probably isn't, but.
Oscar, when he left LA was like 5 or 4. Mm-hmm. And I brought him to the How I Met Your Mother set, and I really wanted him to like take pictures with all of them. And he just wouldn't. I was like, come on. And Jason Segel had all the Muppets with him that day because he was working on the Muppets movie.
Yeah.
And I was like, come on, because my office was right above the set. So I was on the set all the time. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, come on, please just sit down with Jason and take a photo. Please, you're going to want this later.
I know. Trust me. This is a moment in time you're going to want.
You're going to want this. And he wouldn't. He just wouldn't do it. A little bit. For the past year, I've been the head of casting for The Onion and their subsidiaries.
Oh, yeah.
And
so they do. I love that. I was going to ask you about that as well. That's so cool.
They do all these videos. And so we need kids a lot. So I've put both Oscar and Lucas in clickhole videos.
Oh, funny.
Which I never would normally do it, but I was like, I don't feel like I'm just, you know, because they're like 10-second videos. I was like, I'm just going to put Oscar in this video.
So does that mean you have to find kids too?
For these videos?
For the Onion stuff? Are you casting?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot. That's a lot of work, adults and kids. Do you just find that people are just all over you all the time? I mean, because in Chicago, if you're like the go-to casting director, you have such a big show and you have all these things going on. Are people just like actors constantly like, hi, look at me. Here's my kid. You know what I mean? Are they all up in your business?
I don't know, not really. And in LA, I think it was much more aggressive than it is here.
I can see that.
I feel like in LA, I would sometimes you'd be at a restaurant and like somebody would drop off their like headshot postcard.
Shut
with the bill.
Shut up.
It's happened to me so many times.
Are you serious?
Because this is for motherhood, this is the worst thing that happened to me with that. After my first kid, no one tells you how hard breastfeeding is. Breastfeeding is so hard.
It's so hard.
And I had like a breakdown about it because remember I went back to work at 4 weeks.
Oh my God.
I couldn't figure out the balance between breastfeeding and pumping. Yeah. And
was this your first one?
First one.
Yeah.
So I went to a support group. And I thought it was like an honest support group where we could start talking about stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Halfway through, the person to my left goes, I'm going to give you my headshot. Just one second.
No,
this is like after I started crying about how I've been like pumping under my desk and
Marissa, no, in my office. Oh my God.
And I was like, I'm not quite sure I'm doing it right because of all these infections, you know, you're most vulnerable. And somebody's like, and remember, I'm the most actor friendly person. Most of my best friends are actors,
right?
It's, you know,
makes me cringe for you, like, especially because I know, like, it was so hard breastfeeding. And I mean, I broke down multiple times and I went to a support group as well. And so, like, I can't imagine somebody doing that. Oh, I'm sorry.
That was the moment where I was like, oh,
you're like, oh, man, actors.
I just was like, I think I was pretty honest with her. I just said, this is not the moment, if that's okay.
Good for you.
I think that's what I said.
Yeah.
Because I don't know. It just wasn't. I felt like, and also it wasn't just to me. I think it was everybody else in that group, you know.
Yeah.
Everyone else felt a little odd about it as well.
Well, for sure. I mean, but I think though that it's because, and I don't necessarily want to speak for like actors as a whole, but you know, we get this moments of like desperation and this need to be like, oh, this is my one chance. I have to like, you know, let her know I'm available, or I have to meet when I meet this casting director in the grocery store, I have to give him my headshot. Like there's this desperation, and I don't know necessarily where that comes from or why, you know, we allow ourselves to get to that point. That certainly doesn't make it okay that somebody would do that to you and your breastfeeding support group.
But it's not just actors. It's every part of the business.
Oh, sure.
You know?
Yeah.
Every writer, at Starbucks, and even as a casting director, I remember being so panicked in the early part of my career when Alice and I were together every pilot season, because we weren't the first round of calls. You know, we were the third round of calls. You know, when pilots are picked up, we wouldn't get those first round. You know what I mean?
And what does that mean for a casting director then? So you, when the major networks are casting, you want to be the top on their list for casting the big
shows.
Yes,
you want to be, exactly. And we weren't, I called it, we were tier three when we first started. You know, we're 29 years old and have our own company.
Right.
So I said we were tier three. We would get the third round when all the big people weren't available anymore. Mm-hmm. And that's what happened. And it used to cause me so much panic and so much stress. And I just, at one point, you just make yourself crazy.
Yeah.
And then finally you calm down and you realize it's all just too short. And the first time, the empowering moment of saying no, of when you read something and you go, no, this isn't for me, I don't want to do it. Or you meet that producer and you think, nope, this is not going to work. It's like a bad J date. This wasn't going to work. You know, that it's a wonderful feeling, like, to let the desperation go.
Yeah.
To know it's all going to work. Oh, that, I can't even tell you the first time that, like, I said no to a project. I was like, oh my God, I'm saying no to so much money. But I knew it wasn't a good fit and it wasn't right. It was great. It's very empowering to say no.
Yeah, that's great. And I think the problem is that a lot of actors and a lot of writers and people in the industry are hardly ever in that position to say no. I mean, you're told by some people, like, take every job you can and work as much as you can because you never know when the next job will come and, you know, that sort of thing. So that, I think, adds to the desperation. Like, if I'm not working, then I'm not, it's not, work begets work, you know, kind of a thing.
Of course. All of that is true.
And speaking of all of the many projects that you've had, you have such a wide variety of projects under your belt, and it looks like there's a little more comedy in there rather than the drama. I know Chicago Med is a drama. Do you have a preference for comedy? Oh, wait, before we go that, we have to talk about Dark Angel for a second because, oh my God, I love that show. My husband and I were like, I think we're the only people that watch this show because we love it so much. Jessica Alba was so much fun to watch on that show.
Oh my God. Yes.
Did you enjoy casting that? Were you just like, you had to look for like 18 year olds that were all like sexy, but also could look like they were in a post-apocalyptic world.
Jessica was the first person that auditioned. And then the search went on for 10 weeks.
Are you serious? Oh my gosh.
Then I came back to Jessica. She was the very first one.
Oh my gosh. And I bet she the whole time was probably thinking, well, I just didn't get it, you know?
Oh yeah. Yeah. But no, that was a great, I had so much fun working on that show. That was my Ulrich Dustin Pritzer days. Mm-hmm. And Matt Skrbalek at CBS, he's a VP of casting at CBS. That's where him and I met. We were both assistants for the same person, for the same partner.
Oh, I
there.
See, I see.
And so,
and did you like that? That had kind of a sci-fi bent to it a little bit, but you then kind of went into, a comedy run for a while, and you still do with, you know, like The Onion, you said, and your comedy.
Yes, comedy. I think comedy is where I'm the most talented. I'm gonna be honest. That's where I am the most talented. I don't know. There's something about it. I've always been passionate about it. I love to laugh. I love to make people laugh. It's just how my life is. Mm-hmm. So it.
Is it hard to find comedic people as opposed to drama? Because, you know, what do they say? That comedy is hard, drama is easy?
Comedy is so much harder. Mm-hmm. It's so much harder. And then when you discover these, like, nuggets of people, it's just so exciting that you, like, almost jump out of your chair and you become so passionate. Mm-hmm. I got fired off of a pilot because I kept bringing in Kate McKinnon. Because I kept saying, you guys don't understand. She's so funny. And they're like, no. I'm like, no, really? She's so funny.
And now don't you just feel like, ha-ha.
Oh, it happened for so many things. I worked on a pilot that I brought Kristen Wiig in a couple times.
Oh,
and
wow.
And they were like, no. And me and that producer are very good friends. Mm-hmm. And so I still bring it up to him every once in a while.
You
like,
totally
shut
should.
Up. Just shut up.
You
I know.
You should. Just be like, by the way, do you feel like there's been a lot of people like that, that you've discovered that you've been able to cast in things? Like, who are the big funny people that you've discovered, or not even just funny, but like, who are your big discoveries?
Oh, sure. I gave Jonah Hill his first job.
Oh, wow.
On Campus Ladies for Oxygen.
Love Campus Ladies. That was such a funny show.
That was Jonah Hill.
Oh,
he
wow.
did the first two seasons of that show.
That's right.
Until Judd Apatow found him.
Yeah.
And then, bye-bye, Jonah.
And then, bye.
It was a drama. Allison and I did Drive together. And a beautiful, wide-eyed 16-year-old pre-read for us. And we flipped out. And we got Tim Minear in the room. And she read for Tim. And Tim flipped out. And we called to get her quotes, and we found out she was testing for another show, and we sent her DVD to the head of Fox, even though we had nobody cast. We said, we have to have her. And Marsha Shulman was like, are you crazy? You don't have anybody cast. She's a 16-year-old nobody. And we're like, we have to have her.
Yeah.
It was Emma Stone.
Oh, wow. And you got her, right? Was she in Drive?
Got her.
Yeah.
She was in Drive. as a 16-year-old, she was in Drive.
And then now, like, it's amazing to me how casting directors can just tell. Do you think that you, you know, like, right when somebody walks in the room, like, oh, this is going to be something great? Or is it more like a, you hope they're going to be great? And then you're just like, let's see what they, how they sound.
For me, it's like an obsessive compulsive disorder problem. So in the sense that like somebody will read for me and then I become obsessed. I was like, oh my God, this person is the answer. I mean, that's what, How I Met Your Mother. That's what The Mother was for me. I went to go see Kristen Milioti's show in New York on accident, on like a girls' weekend in New York. And I turned to my friend Leslie, who I was with, and I said, I think that's going to be the mom. And she's like, what the fuck are you talking about? And I was like, I think that's the mom. And I went back and I told Carter and Craig, and this was 2 years before we ever cast her. And I was like, I think I found a mom.
So you hold on to then those moments and those actors, like, mental. It's amazing to me how casting directors could do that, because they can remember a name, a face, and a performance if it's really good and stands out.
100%. I mean, that's literally our one and only job.
That's true.
When I was in New Zealand on this last trip, I just worked on a movie that shot in New Zealand, and the lead guy is, you know, somebody that's known in New Zealand, but he's not known outside of New Zealand. And I'm obsessed with him. So like right now I keep telling everybody, I was like, I got this guy, he lives in New Zealand, he's from Tonga, and he kind of looks like a Tonganese version of Zach Galifianakis. I'm going to find something for this guy, you know? So yeah. That's sort of,
and how did you come across him? Because that's so interesting to me too, how casting is going so much to Australia, to London, and you know, like all the new Star Wars movie, everybody there is, you know, British, and it's really I find it interesting why that's happening. I don't know if it's because people are like, we're over American actors, you know, like let's get somebody better. I read an article one time that said it's because they think like British actors are more well-trained and Australian actors are more well-trained. And, you know, I don't know that that's necessarily true, but, you know, what do you think about that?
I don't know if that's true. I mean, look at Lupita coming out of Yale. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I find that we do have our new stars that are, I do think there is a new appreciation of training, which is a little bit newer. That wasn't there before. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There is this art of training that it's appreciated, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's a great thing.
But how are reality shows affecting that? Like, there's so many reality stars now that are, you know, my agent told me, she said that a lot of her actors are losing out roles to like YouTube stars and Vine stars, because producers are now going to see how many Twitter followers you have or how many, you know, Vine followers you have. And I'm like, are you serious? Is that really happening?
Yeah, it is. You know, your social media, unfortunately, is part of it now. You know, what kind of following you have. I mean, I wish it wasn't that way, but it is.
Yeah. Like
that's part of it.
That's frustrating, because you could have like a really well-trained actor who's been in the business forever and a day. And then if they don't have enough Twitter followers, they could lose out on a part. Like that's kind of a bummer.
It is. Like, that is a big bummer. Yeah. It is a big bummer. But you know, those reality shows are juggernauts. I mean, I watch them. I don't watch the trashy ones, but Top Chef is my favorite show on television.
You like the Top Chef?
Do you know what I mean?
What are the trashy ones? Like the Real Housewives one?
Yeah, I'm saying all that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
The Kardashians and their 19 offshoots and anything that Snooki does. You know what I mean? So it's like all of those. They're just juggernauts of cash.
They really are. And they, you know, they have fans and people are watching them. And what I think is happening is, you know, little Betty Sue so-and-so in the Midwest is watching the Kardashians and going, I want to be a star too. And then they move out to LA and they make some Vine videos. And then before you know it, they're beating out, you know, girls from Yale who have training and actors.
The problem with the Kardashians, and I will say this to anybody who will listen to me, is that I'm fine with them being whoever they are and all their plastic surgery and all their things. I don't care.
Right.
My problem is that mother does not care about her daughters having an education.
No.
None of them have gone to college. And to me, that blows my mind.
But I guess they wouldn't need to if they all they have to do is tweet about a product and they make, you know, $50,000 or make an appearance at a club and they make $500,000 or something, you know, like that. I could see how she would be like, no, you don't need to go to school or, you know, whatever. But I totally agree with you. You're right. I think Kendall and Kylie, the two youngest, dropped out of school and like homeschool the last few years. Yeah. And, like,
just get an education, learn about social science, history. I don't know. You know, get a. That's my problem. Like,
is that there's no like
go school?
Yeah,
go
there's
school.
There's no.
Learn something.
Focus on, yeah, on education or learning in any way. And then that sends a bad example to all of their young
education
fans.
Education doesn't necessarily have to be for a monetary reward at the end.
Yeah.
Yes, they have more money than God. But they could also just be cultural and interesting and know something about, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know?
Something. Anything. Other than lip gloss or whatever.
Yes. They could talk about.
I love that we're being so judgy. We're like
so judgy.
Listen, Kardashians, we know what's up.
It's the education thing. That's the, I don't know. I totally agree. It drives me nuts.
And it
drives me nuts about myself that I don't have a master's. Like I'd like to fit it into my schedule. I don't know when.
I don't think you can right now. You are so busy.
But that's one thing that bothers me about myself. So I won't judge the Kardashians. I'll judge myself.
Judge yourself. Yeah.
I don't like that I never went back to get my master's. I don't like that.
Would you get your master's in theater or in English or what would it be?
I would want to do it in some sort of education so that I could teach, because eventually we all burn out. Sure. So eventually I would like to be able to be an adjunct teacher somewhere, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Do you think you
see yourself, you know, not doing casting forever, or do you think your casting has a shelf life?
It's not that I have a shelf life. I just would like other things, you know. Eventually there might be a time where I'd like to teach, you know. I enjoy my teaching now. Like when I was in New Zealand and stuff, I had the best time. I enjoy it now. I especially enjoy teaching comedy. So I sort of talk about all of it, you know, what makes things funny, what makes people laugh, finding jokes, how do you find the jokes, all that kind of stuff. So, I enjoy it. So again, that's why I'm mad at myself. We've taken a very strange turn.
I know. We're like, don't be angry. Don't be angry at yourself. You're doing great. No.
Yeah. We've taken a very strange turn.
You're very pretty. No.
Exactly.
I just feel like I need to give you affirmation. You're doing great, Marissa. I'm so proud of you.
Like, I have two drinks on my desk right now. I have my La Croix water and my Starbucks. So it's like, while I'm talking to you, I'm so bougie. You're like, I need a master's education. Let me take my dual sips of my water and my coffee.
Oh my
like,
gosh. So I love that you use the word bougie. I love that. I am very excited to see how Chicago Med continues to play out and how everything's going with that show. And you're not on a break yet for the holiday, right?
No. Ooh, we still have a crazy week. And then
do you have any holiday plans? Any big holiday plans with the family?
Yeah, we're doing a little Grand Canyon trip. Mm. It's like Wally World. It's like the Griswolds.
Are you going to drive to the Grand Canyon?
Not from Chicago.
Okay, I was like, whoa.
We're going to be in Arizona, but we're going to drive around everywhere. So it's going to be a little Griswoldian.
Is that
a word? Griswoldian?
Let's make it up. It is now.
It's going to be adorable. We're all going to we're going to see Montezuma's Castle in Arizona.
Wow.
We're going to see where the meteorite landed. We got it. Like anything kitschy, we got it.
Oh, that sounds like so much fun and like such a great, fun family trip. You know they're going to remember that forever. That's going to be so great.
Well, we'll just remember the 2-year-old screaming the whole time.
Right, exactly. Are you going through tantrumy phase? Because I am. It's terrible.
How old is your daughter?
She's 2.5.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So you're in the horrible part.
Oh, yeah. It's like we argued the other day over – God, what was it? Like her shoe. She swore her shoe didn't fit. And I'm like, it's on your foot. It does fit. No, it doesn't. It's too tight. And then she was like almost to the point of hysterical. And I was like, okay, we'll take the shoe off. But just that one shoe, the other shoe she said was fine. So I'm like, you're nuts. You're insane. I can't reason with her.
Nico bends his head all the way down and looks at you where you could almost only see the whites of his eyes, like a little Tasmanian devil.
Oh no.
When he's like really done and really angry, and he goes, "No, mama."
Oh my God, that's terrifying.
Like he's possessed.
That's terrifying. And then you slowly start backing out of the room, like, "I'm just gonna be over here with my latte and my fancy water."
Let's watch TV. Let's go back and edit what I said about all this stuff before. Let's hit backspace.
I think it's great. I think your trip sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun, and I'm so excited for you and all of the exciting things that are happening in Chicago. And I want to thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me on the show. Like I said, I know you're super busy, but I really do appreciate it.
Oh no, please. It's my pleasure. It's, I had a great time.
Good. I'm glad.
I hope I said anything of interest.
Not at all. Not at all. I'm deleting this episode as soon as we hang up. No.
Backspace.
Whatever I need to do. No, it's been great. You've answered a lot of my questions, and I know a lot of my listeners have questions about it as well. So this is good stuff, Marissa. Good stuff. And if people want to, are you on Twitter or Instagram or anything like that where people can find you, or would you prefer they not?
You can email me at my website. I'm not on Twitter yet, and I don't know why. It's like I'm not that ancient of a fossil. I don't know why I never did. But anyone can email me or call me. The number is on my website, or they can email me, and it's literally just Marissa@MarissaRossCasting.com.
You're just going to get a slew of headshots from actors. I'm going to be in Chicago next Tuesday. If you're casting anyone my type.
More than that, I actually like it when people send me videos of stuff that they've done. I really like it. Sometimes, people who will sort of write and produce funny videos.
Yeah.
Like I became obsessed with, you have to YouTube it as soon as we get off. Have you seen the Activewear song?
No. What's that?
Activewear, drinking coffee in my activewear. It's these like five girls who are making fun of the fact that they do everything in their activewear except be active.
Oh my God, that's my life. That's what I'm literally wearing. I'm wearing sweatpants right now.
You're wearing Lululemons right now? Yeah. Literally, when we hang up, you're going to YouTube this. And we'll go back to the obsessive compulsive disorder part about being in casting. I sent it to so many people. I was like, have you seen this? And so these five actresses are getting seen by all these heads of casting, by all of these people and all these big casting directors, because they produced a funny video and somebody emailed it to me.
I need to do that. I used to make a lot more funny videos when I was doing sketch and stuff at Groundlings and UCB. I used to do a lot more of that. And then I had a baby and I was like, I'm tired. Now I just sit around in my activewear.
It's going to be tired, Heather. I'm always tired.
Does that ever go away? Like,
no.
I'm wondering.
But you learn to appreciate a massage every once in a while. You're like, oh, this is a nap.
I have asked Santa for a massage, so I'm hoping he comes through. I'm hoping.
Yeah, you're going to invest in some under-eye concealer, and that's it.
And then you're good to go.
Just sleep portion's done for a while.
Just prop me up, and I'm good to go. And do you have any parting bits of wisdoms for moms who are actors or moms in the industry who are trying to juggle both? Anything you want to say, pass along to them?
Yes, you have to stop beating yourself up about like you said about, oh my God, I'm not spending enough time, not doing this, not doing that, it's okay. If you bring your kid to the audition, whatever you need to do. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You need to.
Thank you for saying that, because there are times when I've had to do it and I feel terrible. Like I'm like, oh God.
It's not a big deal. There's no big deal about it.
No one has ever been mean or said anything rude. It's just my own issue where I'm like, I feel like I'm taking her to a job interview, and in any other industry, you wouldn't necessarily do that. You know what I mean?
So that's,
of course. Yeah.
Of course. But But in a lot of ways, I think you would, because remember, I'm on the other side of it, and I brought my kids to Chicago Med the other day because they were out of school, and I had to go over there for an hour. So Oscar and Lucas, I was like, sit in this corner, read a book, you know. So you have to do that, and that's okay. It's okay, and you know, it's exciting that you're a mom and that you're working. How cool are you? How cool are all of us?
Yeah,
we have to be supportive of each other.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I think it's pretty great. Yeah,
it's pretty great. Like, I'm really fucking excited. I'm a cast director and I have three kids. Like, I love it. I wouldn't choose any other life. Like I said, I haven't slept in a decade, but there is nothing. I have no regrets. I love what I do and I love my kids and I love that it all works together. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So.
Oh, I love that. I think that's going to be a big, I think that's going to be very inspirational to a lot of people who are listening, for sure. And I think that's also why when I was telling Allison about my podcast and she was telling me about you, I think my eyes like got really wide and she was like, do you want her email? And I was like, yes, please.
So listen, free. Otherwise I would have had another one, but I think I have to like tap out like at a wrestling match.
Oh yeah.
Be like, okay, I'm real tired. I'm gonna tap out right now. I'm not gonna have a fourth.
You're holding steady at three, huh?
I'm holding steady at three. I'm going to get like a fancy girl dog. Like, that's it. You know, no more. I went for the third to try to have a girl. It didn't work. So now I'll just have some fluff dog in a couple years.
There you go. Yeah. Just get a cute little puppy and you can still dress him up the same. You know, you can still, you still put him in little outfits. I see people do it all the time.
Nico's worn a lot of purple for a little boy.
Oh,
for the third.
That's so cute.
Is it a lot? Gender bending colors.
I love it. All right. Well, thank you so much for being on the show, Marissa.
Yay!
And you guys, I hope you have a wonderful Christmas and holiday season with your family. Make sure you check out motherhoodinhollywood.com. I'll be posting lots of fun things that are happening with our family around the holidays, as well as info about Marissa and this show today and upcoming announcements as well. I love you guys. Thank you for your support. And we'll see you guys next week. Merry Christmas! Balls.